Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It's just good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's always good to have an opportunity to get to the house of the Lord. It gets great once you get inside the house of the Lord. Understand something. I know it's Wednesday night, and I'm trying to figure out how to merge the surge group, as Brother Brill called the young group, with the middle group, and with the older group. It's amazing how time moves, and you move from one group to the next group to the next group. And you're trying to figure out what happened over the course of time. But tonight, I'm just going to try and go wherever God wants to go. I'm going to read a scripture. Then I'm going to kind of give you a title. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about a second story that I think will help us make sense of some things that take place sometimes. You can remain seated. Can I have 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9? But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We cannot conceive of the things that God has prepared for us. It's like trying to describe the sky when the sun's out, the clouds are there, to somebody else. We really cannot do it justice. But I want you to understand something. When you're living for God, God has some things prepared for you. God has some things prepared for me. He said, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Understand something. He didn't come to make your life miserable. He didn't come to do anything but bless you. Understand what I'm trying to talk about tonight. He came to bless you. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 9. But there are some things in life we need to understand. Jesus says, in this life, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. I'm here today to tell you, when I first got into church, I thought it would be all a nice paved street. There would never be any trials and tribulations. But I'm here today to tell somebody, I don't know where you are in terms of your walk and the trials and tribulations, but I want you to understand something, that God is faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You got it, Mike? You got it? No, give me 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. Because I need you. Go back to verse 8. I think 8 will make sense. Here is what you have to understand. Then I'm going to go back to 2 Kings chapter. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Understand as you walk through this life, there are some things in your life that are going to take place. But I need you to understand, I picked a title, and the title means, it says, stay the course. Understand what I'm trying to tell somebody tonight. Stay the course. I don't know whether you're at the beginning of your walk with God, you're in the middle, or you're near the end of this journey. But I'm here to tell somebody, don't give up. Don't turn around. Don't go back, because one day it will be worth it all. One day it will be. I'm going to go now and talk from 2 Kings chapter 2. It's an interesting story that begins to take place. It's a familiar story. It opens in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. It's interesting that God gives us this first verse. Otherwise, we would be trying to figure out what happens. In our life, there are people in our lives that will leave this earthly journey and receive their reward in heaven way before we will. Now, when that happens, when young, you don't understand it all. Understand, when somebody's taken, you really don't grasp it all. But as you get older, when they're taken out of your life, something happens on the inside. It's like a void that becomes a big open void that you don't know what to do. We sat there and we're sad about it, but I tell people what we're sad about, if we know they're going to be with the Lord, we're sad because they went without us. In reality, we would like to have gone with them and received our reward now. But here is something that takes place. Elijah is about to be taken up in the whirlwind, and Elijah is with him right there. Think about that. You've had a mentor that have been with you for a long period of time. Now God says to you, one day I'm going to take him or her from you. Our first thought is that we would be awful sad. We would look to God and we would like to understand, why are you taking him? Why are you taking him now? Understand something. So Elijah now has to sit there and realize, my master, who later he calls his father, is about to be taken. Most of us would be sad and hang our head. So now we look at the story that they go from Gilgad. And Elijah says, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. He tells him, I'm going to be taken from you today. I want you to stay at Gilgad. Understand something. This is not a new paradigm. This takes place way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Look at the relationship between Moses and Joshua. Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years. At a point when God looks at Moses and says, Moses, you will not go into the promised land. He tells Moses, you will be taken away. Anoint Joshua to be the next leader. Study it very carefully. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, something interesting takes place. Micah, go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. And here's what I want you to follow. In verse 1 it says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain Nebo to the top of the Persian. Now listen, Moses leaves the children of Israel as he knows he's about to be taken away. So now we look at Elijah, he says, stay here because I know I'm about to be taken away. Joshua, we know, now stays, but now we know Moses goes up to the top of the mountain. Go to verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of the sepulchre unto this day. So we know now the Lord buried Moses. Hold on to that, because that's going to become important later on in this lesson. So now Elijah is about to be taken away. He tells Elijah, you stay here. But he looks around and he says something interesting. He looks at him and says, you know, I will not leave thee. He says, I don't care whether you're going to be taken away today. But what he said is, I'm going to spend every moment I have with you until whatever God's going to do takes place. Your first instinct, a lot of times I tell people, is when somebody's about to die, we talk about them like they're already dead. We do. We want to talk about, well, they did this, they did that. Well, you know what? Long as they're still breathing, they're still alive. Okay, so we know what's going to take place, but he says, no, you're not going to leave me. I'm going to go with you. So they travel, they go down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that was at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from the head today? Now, he knows already what's about to take place. Now, the prophets come out along the way and say, guess what? God's going to take Elijah from you today. And he says, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Let me tell you something about that story. When you're walking with God, there's always somebody that's going to come along and try and change what you're walking for. I call them the dream thieves. There's always somebody in your life who wants to steal your dream. I'm going to speak to the young people because you still have a long way to go. There are things in life you want to accomplish. There's always somebody who comes along and tries to talk some negative things into your head. Just because it's your dream and they don't believe in your dream doesn't mean you have to give up your dream. Understand something to me about tonight. You got to get to the point. The Bible reminds us, if God has given you a promise, he's well able to fulfill that promise. Now, the prophets come along and say, you know, your master's going to be taken. He gave the right answer. He didn't listen to him. He looked around and said, what? I know it. Hold your peace. In our normal terms, he said, shut up. He said, I don't want to hear it. Listen, in your day-to-day life, when you're trying to live for God, you're trying to live a holy life, you're trying to be sanctified, somebody going to come along and tell you, you don't have to do that to get to heaven. You don't have to live like that. Let me tell you something. I can tell you what the Bible says. If the Bible said it, it's true. That's the end of the discussion. I don't have to have any discussion with somebody. You don't have to sit there and have a discussion with them. You just remind them that the Bible said it. That's why I'm doing it. Understand something. God has something prepared for you. So here the prophets come along and try and talk him out of staying with the master. And Elijah said to him, Elijah, tarry here. Now the prophets and told him, you need this, your master's gonna be taken. Elijah says, you ought to stay here. But he just says, he looks at Elijah and says, you know what? I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Understand something. He said, long as he's going, I'm still going with him. Why? Because verse 1 said he's going to be taken up in by heaven by a whirlwind. I'm here today to tell you he got a chance to see something that not a lot of people get to see. I'm telling you, if you live for God, you're going to see some things that the world out there can't ever let you see. God's going to open some doors that you can't even see. He's going to throw open some windows. You can't even see the blessings. But he said, I'm going on with him. I don't know how this story is going to end. But importantly, I don't know when it's going to end. So the Bible says now they come to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that was at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. How come everybody keeps trying to tell him something? They're all trying to tell him what he already knows. And Elijah says unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Now, from Jericho to Jordan is about 5 miles. Or you want to call it 7 kilometers. But it's 5 miles. So Elijah looks at him and says, you know, why don't you stay here? Because if I'm Elijah, I'm thinking this end of this journey is my journey. It's my journey. It's time for me to part this earth. Understand something. When Paul got ready to leave the earth, Paul didn't call it death. Paul described it as the time of my departure has draweth nigh. Departure means I'm about to leave, but it's not means I'm about to die. It means I'm leaving this earth, but there is something waiting for me greater when I get to the other side. When you depart Springfield, if you're going to St. Louis, you're not dead. You're just going to St. Louis. Or you're going to California, I departed. You go down and you get your ticket to get on American Airlines, they tell you the time of your departure. Understand something. They tell you when you're going to depart. It's interesting along the line. We need to understand something. what takes place here? So he says, stay here until I come to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. There is more to this story. God, along the way, is also trying to find out what Elijah, will he stay with him? Along the way, he's trying to find out, are you really committed? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You remember, you think about that. Each one of them requires you to be a little bit more aggressive. Think about it. You got to be a little more aggressive. You ask for something. You knock for something. Okay? You start seeking. You lose your keys. Anybody see my keys? Listen. Anybody see my keys? That's your first thing. I don't know, you're young, you've never lost your keys. But if you're like me, you lose your keys. You look for the, have you seen my keys? You can't find your keys. What do you do next? You start seeking your keys. First, you're kind of nice when you're looking for your keys. You're just walking around. You're not turning anything over. You're kind of peeking over here. You're kind of peeking over there. You're looking in, maybe looking in your jacket pockets. But finally, when you can't find them in the jacket pocket, you get a little bit more desperate for your keys. Then you start pulling up the couch cushions. You start looking under in the mattress. You start looking in the shoes. You start looking everywhere for your keys. Understand something. What have you done? You become more aggressive. I'm here today to tell you, sometime when you need to get to God, you have to get kind of aggressive there and say, you know what? I need something. I need something. And I'm not just going back because somebody says, I can't have it. The Bible tells us. Now they come to the Jordan. They come to Jordan. Just the two of them. Now it's interesting when he's at Jericho. The Bible tells us in verse 7 of chapter 2. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. 50 men, the sons of the prophets, went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Now, here's an interesting story. Think of this. So Jericho is 5 miles. Jericho is actually 800 feet below sea level. So that tells me those 50 have to go out and climb up some type of mountain or some type of tower so they can see 5 miles over to watch them and see what takes place. But more interesting, I want to question you and want to know why along the line that each stop, how come none of the prophets went with them? Think about it. None of them joined and went with them. The last stop, he got 50. The 50 go up and watch. What hit me about that is, you know what? When we come to church, we got somebody who wants to sit down and watch. But I'd rather be able to participate. The Bible tells us God is no respecter of persons. So if something is about to take place, if I'm one of the 50, I want to go with them. I want to participate because I know something's about to take place. They knew the time, so they knew things were got to take place, but they decided I'd rather watch from afar off. In your walk with God, you ought to say, I want to get as close to him as I can get. Understand something. You want to get as close, because if something's going to take place, you want to be right up close to it. Ever think about you when you cold and you come up to a fire? You don't stand way back from the fire. What do? You get a right close to the fire. Why? Because that's where the warmth is. If you want something from God, you got to get up close to him. So now the 50 go up and watch as they come to Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So the two went over on dry land. Now, listen. Think what all the prophets just missed. Now, listen. They had heard about the Red Sea. They had heard about the children of Israel coming into the promised land. Now they missed their opportunity to cross over something on dry land. I'm telling you, if you will get involved with God, you won't miss anything. But if you sit over here and observe, when God starts moving, you're going to miss something. They missed an opportunity. They missed a blessing. Because then they could have had their own experience. Not an experience that somebody told them took place at the Red Sea. Not something that took place at the Jordan. Let me tell you something. Every time you come to church, God wants to move. The question is, are you desperate enough that you want him to move in your life? That old song used to go, oh Lord, while on others thou are calling, do not pass me by. What are they saying? Don't pass me by. If you give it that blessing, don't pass me by. I want to get every blessing you got for me. But there are 50 that sat there and missed a blessing. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. He didn't know he was going to get that question. He really didn't. He just knew, I'm walking with the master. I'm walking with the master. I'm walking with my mentor. I'm walking with the pastor. I don't know what's going to take place. But it's interesting that he didn't ask him that question until they got to the other side of Jordan. Think about this. As he posed that question to him when they first started out, you'd have understood why he stayed with him. Because you'd have been right like, I'm about to get something. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to keep walking with you because I'm going to get something. But he waited till they got to the other side to ask him something. Let me tell somebody who's living for God and you're having a tough time today. When you do get to the other side, it's got that song said, I always say, it's going to be worth it all. Some beautiful, happy day. I'm here today to tell you, when they got to the other side of the Jordan, to that old song they used to sing, stand still, Jordan, and let a child of God go home. Once they used to sing, I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. Oh, listen what they're talking about. They understood something. They understood when they got to the other side. I'm going to have a real good time. You think I'm going to have church here? I'm going to really have church when I get over to heaven. Where the Lamb is the light. So now he gets over. They two cross over and he says, listen, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from them. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. It's interesting. He didn't ask for $1 million. He didn't ask for power. He said, let your spirit rest upon me. Understand something. When you're walking with God, you want his spirit to rest upon you. You want it to rest upon you. So he says, listen. And Elijah says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. You got to be with me. You got to be watching. Let me tell you something. We don't know the time or the day and the hour, but we do know the Lord is coming back for his church. And what did he say? Those that look for him, those that are looking for him, shall see him. I'm here today to tell you, you got to be looking for him to be able to see him. You know, the Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. People all the time say, well, I can't see God. Yeah, you can't see God. You know why? Think of this. Faith makes God visible. It's the faith you have that makes God visible. Think of what I'm just saying. It's the faith. Because once you've got faith in him, you can see him. You can see him when he moves in situations. You can see him when he moves in your life. But when you're trying to find somebody who don't have no faith, they can't see him. But all of a sudden, he says, listen, if you see when this takes place, then you will get it. And it says, and thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, And the Bible says, and it came to pass that they went on and talked. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and departed them both asunder. So they're walking. They're walking together. They're just going along. He don't know when time's going to happen. But all of a sudden, there appears a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And if think about that. And parted them both, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Think of that. My first question is, you realize Elijah was not burned when the chariot of fire came and the horses of fire came. There's a preference for that. Go back and remember when Moses turned and looked at the bush that was on fire and burned it not. He could not understand why. Understand something. God is in control. So now we look up, and Elijah's taken up in a chariot of fire. And Elijah saw it, and he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and ripped them in pieces. Basically, he was moaning because his father, his spiritual father, was not taken away. And the Bible says, and he saw him no more. Understand something right there. When you have an encounter with God, something has to change in your life. You cannot have an encounter with Jesus Christ and remain the same. Understand what I'm saying? So now he is moaning that his father is taken away. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. If there's fire and there's a mantle, now how come the mantle didn't burn in the fire? Think of that. How come the mantle did not catch on fire? The chariot's on fire. The horses are fire. You would think the mantle should be on fire. The mantle falls, but somehow it is not burned. We understand God is still God. We know the story of Moses and the burning bush that did not burn. We know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God can do whatever God wants to do. Understand something. So Elijah took up the mantle of Elijah and that fell from it and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now, the question I first had was, why did he try and jump on the chariot and go with him? What? Listen. You know he's going up in a whirlwind. He's going to heaven. It says in verse 1, take up Elijah into heaven by the whirlwind. Most of us would have tried to jump on the chariot. Listen, I know where it's going. It's going to heaven. Is that close? I'm trying to get on that too. There's a reason he didn't get on that. There's a reason. He didn't go. I'm going to explain to you why he didn't go. There's an answer. He goes back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Give me verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Give me verse 14. And he took the mantle, read it very carefully, of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Here's why he didn't go. He couldn't go yet. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He doesn't have his personal relationship yet. He's still addressing it as what? The Lord God of Elijah. Let me tell you tonight, somebody in this place, you're not going to get to heaven riding on somebody else's coattail. Listen, just because grandma got the Holy Ghost, and you got to get it for yourself. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you plan to get to heaven. I'm trying to tell somebody something tonight. I'm going to tell you, stay the course because it's going to be worth it. So now he addresses it as the Lord God of Elijah. And the Bible says, and he spit the waters, and the waters, and he went over. The Bible says, and when the sons of the prophet which were to build Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah do rest upon him. Elijah. All of a sudden now, the spirit rests upon him. But the story doesn't end right there. It's interesting what begins to take place later in the story. Give me verse 16. Because now he comes back. The 50 are there. The Bible tells us they go down to meet him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thee thou servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Least peradventure, the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. Listen, those 50 prophets actually thought Elijah was buried somewhere. Listen to what I'm saying. They thought he was buried somewhere. Remember that story I told you about Moses? And Moses on top of Mount Nebo? And guess what happened? They're looking for him. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Now, they're going to go look at the mountain. They're going to go look in the valley. Let me know when you get there. Because it's interesting. They go to look. So Moses goes up to the top of the mountain. So they're saying, maybe he's up in the top of the mountain. Moses was in the top of the mountain. They're thinking, maybe God buried him in the valley. Look what takes place. But guess what? He's not in the valley. Now look at verse 6 of chapter. Give me verse 6 right here. And he buried him, maybe buried him in the valley of Moab over against Bethor. But no man knoweth of the sepulchre unto this day. See, they had a preference before about looking for the mountain and looking in the valley. So now they're thinking, Elijah's up on the mountaintop somewhere. Maybe it's in the valley. We're going to go look for his grave, or we're going to go look for his body. And Elijah's trying to tell them, guys, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. But guess what? They keep talking to him, and finally he gives in and let them go look for him. Guess what happens? The Bible says they went looking for 3 days. 3 days. And they can't find him. They can't find him. Now we get to the interesting part of the story. So they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho. He hung out with them to wait till they come back. He didn't mosey off. He let them, okay, you want to go look? Go look. And he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? Oh, I told you so. If you're a parent, you ever told your kid, don't do that, and they do it, and you say, I told you so. I told you don't do that. But you did it anyway. When a little kid, they'd always tell you, don't touch the stove. In the little kid world, don't touch the stove means touch the stove. You know, a little kid, my grandmother told me one time, I had a hairpin. She told me, don't stick it in an electric socket. You know what I did? I stuck it in the electric socket. Oh, yeah. But the problem was I was holding on to it with my two fingers. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It left a nice little hairpin mark on my fingers. And guess what? My fingers hurt. They didn't just hurt with a little hurt. They hurt. But you did that because somebody said, don't do it. So now they come back, and the men of the city said to Elijah, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord said, but the water is now in the grand barren. He said, bring hither a new crust and put salt therein. They brought it to him. And he went forth into the springs of the water and cast the salt in there and said, give me verse 21. So come to a close. Listen what he says now. He went forth into the springs of the water and cast the salt in there, and he said, thus saith the Lord. You see the difference? Now he's got his own personal experience. It's not the Lord God of Elijah anymore. He's got this personal relationship because he says, thus saith the Lord. I'm trying to tell you tonight, somebody, if you'll get a personal relationship with God, you can say, thus saith the Lord. It's not the Lord of somebody else. It's not the God of my father, my brothers, my sisters. But all of a sudden, it becomes my God, my God, my God. He couldn't go in the first because he would have been lost. But now he comes back and says, it's not about Elijah's God anymore. It's about my God. My God, the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. I'm here today to tell somebody, you can leave this place different than when you came in today. I'm trying to tell you, along this road of life, don't ever get off the road. Don't ever get off the road. Along the road, he had multiple opportunities in the last days. Listen, we living in the last days. We living in the last days. Ain't no use in you hanging your head and being sad and walking around. I'm here today to tell you, we need to be reminded, everybody, that God is coming back. Jesus, that same Jesus that went away, is coming back again for his church. He's coming back for his church. Can you stand? I know I'm hurrying to a close. Along the ways, a lot of things are going to take place in your life. There's going to be trouble all around you. I call it trouble on the inside, trouble on the outside. But I need you to understand something along the way. If you will stay faithful, you will see things that you have never, ever believed you would see. If you talk to any of the elders, they'll tell those stories. That song Amazing Grace says what? Through many dangers, tars, and snares, I've already come. The old folks sing, you know what? I've come too far to turn around. Why they say I've come too far to turn around? Because not every day the sun shined. Not every day was a great day. There were days that they were on top of the mountain. There were days they were in the valley, but they knew one thing. The God of the mountaintop was still the God of the valleys. I'm here today to tell you, when you're going through the valleys, you just keep on walking because God will bring you out the other side. For the young, you will have many opportunities to walk out of church. You will have many opportunities to look around at this word, this gospel, and look around, and there are people we do know that have walked away. But I can tell you, if you ever get to one of those points, go talk to one of the elders. Go talk to one of your elders. They'll tell you it's worth it. It's worth it to stay in the church. It's worth it to stay in the church. There's nothing out there in the world that can compare to the church. I'm trying to speak it. I'm trying to talk to the church to remind them. I'm trying to remind those that are closer. One day, just one day, it'll be worth it all. As we close, we're going to close with a prayer. If you don't know the Lord, you have an opportunity. Don't leave here and think you have next week, next month, and I can come back. The Bible says no man knoweth the appointed day and time. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. The day is the day of salvation, not next week, not next month. Shall we pray? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, this is your words, oh Heavenly Father, that we come and ask of you that you add a blessing to the reading of your words, that you add a blessing to the hearing of your words, oh Heavenly Father. Father, we ask you to look at our hearts, Father. Let your words find fertile ground, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, take our hands and lead us and guide us, oh Heavenly Father. For you are he that came from glory, that we might have a right to eternal life, Father. Jesus, it was your blood that was shed on Calvary, that I might have my sins washed away, Father. Father. Because it's nothing but the blood, oh Heavenly Father. It's under the blood, it's under the cross, oh Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, as we depart this house tonight, I ask that you go with us, that your guardian angels watch over us, that they keep us safe, that they bring us back into your house again, Father. Lord, let us touch somebody and remind them how great you are, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.